God's been good to you. Say amen.
Amen.
Glad to be on this side of life. Say amen.
Amen.
We have had a wonderful time in our celebration thus far this morning, and God is glorified when his people lift their voice and give him praise and adoration.
Amen.
God is magnified when we remember as a people that worship is a time for celebration.
Amen.
I've shared with you over and over again, and I pray that you never forget it, that we don't forget, we don't minimize how awesome it is to love a God who's so in love with us.
Amen.
God who loves us when we have presented ourselves as raggedy and inconsistent, he still loves us.
Amen.
God who looks upon us in all of our brokenness, and he sees what we could be,
yeah,
what we ought to be. He's in love with us.
Amen.
A God who said, you know what, I don't see anybody there who can do it, so I'll do it myself. And he clothed himself in flesh, dwelt among men, just to show us how much he loved us. He's an awesome God.
Amen.
He's a good God, isn't he?
Amen.
If he's been good to you, say amen.
Amen.
If he's a mighty good God to you, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God is a good God, and I'm glad that we're in covenant, not only with each other, but we're in covenant with he who has the ability to do all things well. We serve a God that is so consistent with doing good that he blessed us to be here even right now.
Amen.
Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that we can celebrate the goodness of God together?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that you were here to be able to sing and be reminded of how awesome God is?
Amen.
Wasn't the singing amazing?
Amen.
Isn't it a great appetizer for what will be?
Amen.
That's awesome to me. When we can get closer to the threshold of celestial praise,
yeah,
what an awesome appetizer.
Amen.
For what heaven's going to be like.
Amen.
Some folk are going to be frustrated in heaven. Amen. They're going to be mad because they don't get to carry their frown with them, and ain't nobody going to pout and complain in heaven with them. But there will be those of us,
yeah,
amen,
amen,
who will walk around heaven all day, praising God for who he is, caught up in the sheer bliss of being in the presence of God, caught up in the glory of what it'll be like just to ask Jesus all the questions that you have right now. Sit down with Paul and talk to him what it was like to sing praises in a prison.
Yeah.
Have your praises open the doors.
Amen.
To talk with all of those great brothers and sisters of Scripture who remind us of how awesome we are in being in the family of God. Isn't that great?
Amen.
And I'm glad that we are celebrating even right now. I promise you, I'm not going to hold you long because we have a long day.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
You know, usually when a preacher says he's not going to hold you long, somebody says
amen.
Amen. Unless y'all don't believe me. Is that what it is? Y'all, oh, that's what it was. Y'all were like, I done heard that before. That ain't gonna even believe that right there. That ain't gonna even believe that. But we're going to, I'm serious about mine. I'm not gonna hold you long, but I make a promise. If you help me, I'm gonna help you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. If you help me, I'm gonna help you.
Amen.
I said, if you help me, I'm going to help you. Let's go quickly to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We have embarked this year on our theme. What's our theme, church?
First things first.
As you came through the door, did you notice the reminder of the theme? As you looked up on the wall prior to that, did you notice the banner? We had a great team behind the scenes who told me they didn't want their name called out, so I promise I won't call them out. Amen. But they function, they move like the Spirit of God,
yes,
behind the scenes, making sure that everything was done. We also had a group of individuals who were up to the late hour, making sure that the program was done. We've got a great church.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, see y'all.
Amen.
Right there was a great place to say amen. It might have been my fault. I might have said it too fast. But we have a great church.
Amen.
Amen. And God's going to use us to do great things as we work together. But we've got to keep what? First things first. Amen. And we have began by looking at the kingdom revival in the month of March. Revival in our purpose. Y'all remember that one?
Yeah.
Revival in our prayer. You remember that one?
Yeah.
That was on last week. That was the freshest one. And today we're going to look a little bit more in revival in our proclamation.
Yeah.
Through our appreciation of the word of God. 2 Timothy 3, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And we're going to begin at verse number 13, reading from the King James Version of the Bible. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what?
Perfect.
Perfect, thoroughly or throughly furnished unto all good works.
Amen.
If that's in your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
I want to talk to you from the subject, give me the Bible. Give me the Bible.
Amen.
And the reason why I want to do that is because you and I live in a world. Our world is rapidly growing in decadence and disease of the mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as a result of such disease, the manner of man is falling out everywhere. We are regularly inundated with the spirit of the evil one, mm-hmm, and his agenda from in-house vigilantes, say amen when you can, to a world that's filled with radical suicide bombers on the streets of Baghdad and other places. In our homes, we struggle through an agenda that's set by the evil one to move us from God. In our own personal walk, anybody struggling in your personal walk? We are constantly inundated by a spirit that would have us to move further and further away from God. Our bouts of moral excellency are funneled or fought with the struggle of self-sabotage. Some of us have gotten to a place where we can do a thing pretty good for most of the day. We can get our minds right. We can have our hearts set on doing the right thing. And then we don't have to wait for somebody else to mess it up. We mess it up ourselves. That's self-sabotage. Sometimes we destruct our own path. We can get going with the right mentality, the right motivation, and because of an unfamiliar avenue of success, an unfamiliar path of what prosperity looks like, rather than walk into a place where we break the cycle of what's been done before, handed down by mama and daddy and uncle and baby and Willie and them, we end up sabotaging and messing up ourselves. We don't even have to let somebody else do that. We are struggling over and over again with all kinds of influences, fights from the outside, fights from the inside. I'm waiting for y'all to get in here. Fights on the regular, fights on the subtle. There are blatant things that come at us. There are subtle things that come at us. Some stuff hits us like a Mack truck. Other things hit us like bacteria. But we struggle through these things. We deal with these things. We fight through these things. And we know that we will have to contend even with the things, the desires of our own flesh. But church, what we need when it comes time for us to fight, what we fight, we don't need somebody to hand you the gun. Yeah. Say amen now. Yeah. You don't need somebody to hand you the bottle. Say amen now. Yeah. You don't need somebody to pass the joint. Say amen. Yeah. You don't need somebody to say, line up the cocaine. Yeah. Say amen. Oh, ain't nobody ever struggling here. You don't need somebody to call on Tyrone. Amen. Yeah. Or Teresa. Amen. Yeah.
What you need is for you and I, what our response ought to be, our call ought to be to give me the Bible. Church, we are in the like vein of young Timothy here. Timothy, who is the son of Paul. He is the apprentice of Paul. He is the young man who's been handed the baton by Paul. Paul is aging. He's preparing to die. He's getting ready to go. In chapter 4, Paul would say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I'm ready to go. He said, from henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness up the road for me. And that's Paul telling Timothy. But the thing that we are, just like Timothy was, we're not ready to die just yet. Anybody just ready to die in here? You and I have life yet to live. And as we have life yet to live, we need to know how to function through life in the ugly, here and now, with the power of God to make it through what seems like you cannot make it through. Church, I need an answer that's better and bigger than the philosophies of men. See, the text opened up. It opens up. Y'all might as well help me get on in here. The text opens up and it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. That's old school language for it will increase. It will grow and increase from bad to worse. Deceiving men and them being deceived. Are y'all seeing this? We live in a world right now that's characterized by at least three major philosophies. And one of those major philosophies is humanism. Y'all come on to church now. Humanism. Y'all, you understand what humanism does? Humanism is a teaching. It's an influence. And we don't really grab how prevalent it is or how prevalent it is in all of the areas of life. But humanism says if you leave man alone long enough, he will eventually arrive at the right conclusion. That's that philosophy that says, you know what, just let me and my friends work it out. We are smart. We are intelligent individuals. We have proper minds. We have healthy mentalities. If you leave us alone, we will eventually figure it out. Are y'all seeing that? Well, see, the problem with humanism is that humanism spawned two other children, two other influences that have also permeated the mind of men. One of them is existentialism. Say ouch if you don't get that one. Existentialism. Let me break the word down just a little bit. Existentialism is a philosophy that says that I am aware of what truth is because I experience it myself. Existentialism is the philosophy that would suggest that you and I can arrive at proper understanding or proper thought, or basically, you can't tell me what I believe to be true because I experienced it myself. Y'all still ain't got it. That individual who will sit in the kitchen frying chicken and they say that they know that the Spirit of God has talked to them because they was frying the chicken and the chicken was doing what the chicken does, and all of a sudden, bam, on the floor, they had a thunderbolt fall through their body and it was electrical and it made them feel kind of funny. And you know that when that power hits you, you can't tell anybody how it happened. It just happens like that, and you can't tell me that wasn't God. Existentialism, they want to feel something. I'm trying to find y'all. They want to feel something. Humanism says that I'm wise enough. I'm smart enough. You can't tell me anything. God can't tell me anything. I've got this thing figured out by myself. Existentialism says that I want to feel it. I want to experience. I want to know it. I want a high. I want to be lifted up. And if I don't get my high, if I don't get lifted up, if I don't feel it, then it can't be of God. Y'all come on now. That's humanism. That's existentialism. But then they got a sister named socialism. Lord of mercy. Socialism is the idea that suggests, and I'm not talking about the political agenda. Socialism suggests that you don't have truth unless you are doing something for the betterment of man. Are y'all with me? Socialism says that you can't arrive at truth if you are not out making sure or doing a thing in the world to determine that you are in fact the people of God. Church, we've got to watch this, because sometimes what we do is we allow ourselves to be in the way and God can't have a word. Sometimes we are waiting for a feeling and God is not moving through your feelings. Say amen now. He's not moving through your experience. He's not moving through your waves and your midnight drink. God speaks to us by an unadulterated, pure, unmovable, established word that came from him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We don't need to say, give me an experience. We need to say, give me the what? Bible. We don't need to say, give me my own thoughts. We need to say, give me the what? Bible. We don't need to say, give me a movement. You and I need to say, give me the what? Bible. Because the Bible is the sure, steadfast, and unmovable, solid truth that will keep us even right now.
Amen.
But why? But why? Why? Why is God's word? Why is it so secure? Why is it so wonderful? Why is it so awesome? Why is it that the Bible can be trusted above everything else? And I've got to give this to you. We're living in a time right now. Please listen. I know I keep sharing that we're living in a time right now. Y'all know where we are. Amen. In 2010, we've got all kinds of philosophies that have permeated the world. And you and I, if we're going to deal with what we're dealing with, we've got to be the kind of individuals who have a passion for the Word of God. Y'all remember the old days when people loved the Word of God? You remember the days where it wasn't nothing for somebody in the body of Christ to stand up and quote a scripture that was relevant for the situation? They not only were Bible toting, they were Bible quoting. Y'all remember this? You remember the day where somebody could say, well, it's in the Bible, so it must be right. Now we're in a time where people want to question everything under the sun. And I'm not afraid of questions. All I'm saying is that you and I, if we're going to be the kind of ambassadors for truth, then we've got to have a love for the Word of God. We've got to revive our spirit when it comes to appreciating the Word from God. Church, when God speaks, are you ready to listen? Because if not, then every time truth is given, you will process it through a humanistic mind. Every time truth is broadcast, you'll be waiting on some kind of electricity. But God's not coming through your joints and your body. God's coming at your mind. And if you miss it when God talks, you're going to miss the arrival at higher learning. Say amen when you can. That's what God's about. God helps us to appreciate that his word, I'm going to give you these 3 points and we're going to land. Number one, his word is divinely given. Number two, the word is designed by God. And number three, the word is destined for God. Amen. It's divinely given. What do you mean by that? Go down the text with me. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing from whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child. I'm coming to verse number 16. Thou hast known the Holy what? Come on, y'all. Verse number 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy what? Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. We're going to come back to that one in just a minute. Verse 16. All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. I know it's a familiar text. Inspiration of God. Scripture is divinely given. Church, we don't believe in a collection of fables and history that's given by man. What you and I hold on to, our convictions, our guidance, our blueprint for why we do what we do and how we do what we do, comes from the very mouth of God. Look at the word inspiration. Inspiration. You can understand it in the English just like from the hospital. You know, when you go to the hospital and you deal with that individual who deals with breathing. They are a therapist. They are a what kind of therapist? A respiratory therapist. Y'all see it yet? Respiratory. In the word spirate, you have breath. And respiratory talks about or describes breathing over and over again, the function or the system of breathing. Well, the word of God has a prefix right in front of it, inspiration. It is literally God breathed, or God has breathed in the scripture. Do y'all see this? It is divinely given. Watch God, because y'all are missing it. It is from the mouth, from the breath of God. But church, when God breathes on a thing, things happen. Oh, y'all, amen. When God starts breathing, whenever you see the exhale of God, all kinds of things take place. I remember over in the book of Exodus that God breathed out of his nostrils and the waters, amen, were split so the people of God could come through. When God breathes, his angels get sent. When God breathes, man that was dead comes back to life. When God breathes, he makes mountains to shake. He makes clouds to move. When God breathes, he does things that you and I cannot do. We need, we ought to desire, we ought to have the breath of God. Back in Genesis, the first time you read about God breathing. Y'all see this? The first occasion, the first sighting, and that's a good Bible study, by the way. Go back to the law first mention. The first time you see where God breathed, God was creating man. He had formed man. He had carved man out of the dust of the ground. Y'all remember the story? He had formed man, made man. It was just a big, good dirt model. Amen. I know God was doing it, but it was just a dirt model. God formed man, made his hands, made his arms, made his legs, made his abdomen, made everything on man, made his hands. God formed this man, shaped him according to his image. But until God did something, man was just a model, just a mold, just a lump of clay. Y'all don't see this. Without the breath of God, doesn't matter how good you look on the outside. Doesn't matter how well fashioned you are. Doesn't matter how organized you are. If God does not breathe on the thing, it can never be all of what he wants it to be. God formed this man out of the dust of the ground. And the Bible says that he did what? Breathe into his nostrils. The what? Breath of life. And man became a living soul. Church, do you see it? When you and I take in the scripture of God, the word of God, we are breathing on the dead places, oh Lord of mercy, of our life. Every area of your life that's deficit, that's broken, that's dark, that's inanimate, church, let God breathe on you. And when God gives it breath, that thing that was dead will stand up and become living. Okay, y'all don't see this. See, the word of God is so relevant. It's so relevant that all we've got to do when we find those broken places is read the word of God, and God will bring life to those areas. God will help the liar to stop lying if he takes in the breath of God. He will stop the thief to stop stealing if he takes in the breath of God. He will stop the alcoholic to stop drinking. Come on, church. If he takes in the breath of God, he will stop the crackhead to stop smoking if they take in the breath of God. He will help the leaders to keep leading if they take in, come on, church, the breath of God. He will help the church to keep growing if they take in the breath of God. But we've got to receive the breath and then walk it out. Walk it out. The divinely given word of God is his breath. But then I got to share something with you. Everything about the word of God in its totality, its truth. Psalm 119 and verse number 160 says that the sum of thy word is truth. All of it together. You don't have to worry about what's divinely given being corruptible or what's divinely given lying to you. See, scripture, one thing about God is whatever promise he makes in scripture, he's going to keep it. Are y'all seeing this? God is not like us. Y'all, come on and say amen now. I know some of us right here said, well, I don't be lying like that no more. I'm saying, I don't be lying like that. Listen, on our best day, Isaiah says, on our best day, we're nothing more than filthy garments. Church, you got to recognize this. Given the right atmosphere, any man is capable of doing anything. That's why you don't put your faith in man. You put your faith in God. That's why you don't trust all the sweet sayings of man. You trust what comes from the word of God. If it's not in here, I'm sorry, you talking loud, but you ain't saying. See, in its totality, it is truth. In its totality, it's truth. But not only that, in its makeup, in the makeup of the word of God. Proverbs 30 and verse number 6 says that the word of God is pure.
Yeah.
Y'all see this? See, when you and I take in this word, we don't, God's breath is not smog filled like LA. Yeah. Come on now. Amen. There's no toxicity in the breath of God. God's breath, God's word is pure. It's not filled. You ain't got to worry about boiling it first before you drink it. Amen. God's word is good. Amen. To the last drop. Every bit of it just, it satisfies, it satiates, it fills those areas of your life. Some of us have been drinking Gatorade and Powerade and vitamin water. Amen. And all kinds of Ensure and smoothies this and smoothies that. Get some word in you. Amen. God will nourish you. He will provide for you. He will bless you. He will move you in ways that you cannot move. But you got to get it in you. Is it in you? Not only that. Y'all got to recognize some of the power of God. It's divinely given. It's truth in its totality. It's pure. But watch, church. It's also fruitful. Watch. Let me get some help right along in here, Brother Booker. Go to Isaiah. Everybody turn to Isaiah. Isaiah 55. Come on up here, Brother Booker. Get to the mic. Get to the mic right over here. Isaiah, you got a mic. I want him to come on over here. Come on over here for me. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Y'all, are y'all there at Isaiah 55?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Everybody out there say, wait a minute. Amen. I knew some folks wasn't there. Amen. Man, Isaiah's one of them books where you have to go, 1 Corinthians, what? Psalm. Amen. Isaiah 55. You know, that's that passage where God says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Are y'all seeing this? Isaiah 55. Everybody just say amen. If you're not there, just listen. Go to verse number 8. Watch verse number 8. Verse number 8, Isaiah 55. What I'm sharing with you is that this word of God is fruitful. God does not, see, some of us are in a habit where at home, all you do is scream and holler. You don't gotta say amen now, that's cool. I ain't gonna follow you home and be like, see, I told you. That don't make no sense. Some of us, that's all we do. So when we do begin to communicate, don't nobody take you serious. Are y'all singing?
Yeah.
Or some of us are the other way. We never get excited about anything. So when you get excited, we think something's wrong. Are y'all singing? But what God shares with us is that he never speaks a word that does not have purpose. Y'all got to understand something about the power of God's word. The power of God's word is so that if you put it out there, it's going to do what it's going to do. God said long before Ray Charles, I'll make it do what it do, baby. And that's the nature of the word of God. Oh, we've got to be the kind of individuals who long after it because we don't know. You never know the power of the word of God. God may say a word to an individual, to a young man, to a young woman that will resonate in their mind for years to come. But know this, it's doing something. It begins germinating and moving and reminding them and educating them so that when they get to that breaking point, they have heard a word from God that reminds them that their father is waiting for them at home.
Amen.
Y'all,
amen.
Watch. I'm sorry, I got real passionate. I was thinking about myself. Isaiah 55, verse number 8, read.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Lord of mercy, watch.
See, nor are your ways my ways.
Hold on, you gotta get you to the preaching rhythm.
All right.
So you read a little bit, then I say wait. Then I say read, then you go, are y'all ready? So start at verse number 8. We're gonna get it right. Read.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Wait a minute. See how that works? God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Be careful with this. Be careful. Because you don't go to the word of God to prove your point. See, we do that sometimes. What we do is we say, you know what? You know what? You're wrong and you're going to hell and I'll prove it to you. Are y'all seeing this? Come on and say amen now. Some of us have the wrong agenda when we approach scripture, which is why we miss God talking. That's the reason why you're the same knucklehead today that you were. What God is trying to get you to see is that when you and I go to the source, when we go to the breath of God, know this, his thoughts are not your thoughts. You are not the origin. You are not the mind. You are not the brainchild. It's the word, the mind, the very intellect of God himself. So you and I need to hear him like God. Amen. You don't listen to him like one of your boys on the street. Amen. These are the thoughts of God. Bow down to the thoughts of who? God. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Read.
Nor are your ways my ways.
Lord of mercy. And then watch him. He flipped it. Nor are your ways. I don't move like you. I don't do what you do. Are you seeing this? My thoughts are my thoughts. My ways are my ways. Don't try to say that I'm doing this like God. Wait a minute. God's ways are not like yours. Your ways fall in suit with the ways of God. Not the other way around. Come on and read.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth.
Come on and read.
So are the ways higher, so are my ways higher than your ways.
Yeah, come on, read.
And my thoughts than your thoughts.
Read, read.
For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven.
Watch this metaphor.
And do not return there.
Stop.
But water the earth.
I say stop. He got excited. You know what it was? I didn't stop him earlier, so he said, I'm just going to keep going there. Watch God, watch God. He says, as the rain, watch this metaphor. As the rain comes down on the earth, so do my words. Are y'all seeing this? They do the same thing. Church, you gotta watch it. When the word of God falls, it will land on whosoever God will. You can't try to bottle God's word up and decide who it won't affect and will affect. Church, every time we do that, we become guilty of favoritism that God does not do. We've got to be broadcasters of the word of God. Share it, live it, tell it to everybody. Wait though, because it bears fruit. Rain has a purpose. It nourishes the ground. It cultivates the ground. It feeds. It satiates. It makes the atmosphere conducive for growth. Growth that will be for God. Are y'all seeing this? When plants grow, they grow what? Up. Y'all listen. God's trying to feed us in such a way to where we will grow
up.
Come on and read.
And make it bring forth and bud.
Yeah, yeah.
That it may give seed to the sower.
Lord of mercy, read.
And bread to the eater.
Yeah.
So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth.
Read.
It shall not return to
me. It shall not return to me void. Y'all see this? The fruitfulness of God's word is, and I'm giving this to you because some of us struggle with wanting, we want results immediately. Amen, amen. But the word of God doesn't fall on your life like a microwave. You don't put it in for 2 minutes and it's good. Come on now, there's no popcorn button with the word of God. Where you just sit in there and walk away from it. It'll be ready when it's done. It's already said. No, you and I, we don't need to have an instant mentality when it comes to the word of God. Keep on raining your life. Keep on feeding your life. Keep on letting that thing grow. And let it grow from the word of God. You cannot have inconsistent appreciation of the word of God and expect good results. Sunday alone won't do it.
Amen.
Sunday and Wednesday alone won't do it. You picking your Bible up, taking it to the car so you can have it in the car, going to work, going to lunch, coming back, taking your Bible out the car, bringing it in the house, but never opening it. That don't work. Are y'all singing?
Yeah.
Sitting on the coffee table, sitting next to you, flipping it open, closing it back up, without reading it, does not work.
Amen.
Come on, church. Nor does the data-only mentality, where you just read and get facts, but no application. That doesn't work.
Amen.
See, when you and I are listening to the word of God, we've got to be the kind of people who hear God, believe God, and obey God. Take in the word, but then walk the word out, just like Jesus did. He descended, became word in the flesh, and then lived so that we see the glory of God. All right. Thank you, Brother Bookie. That was good. Second point. Let me move on. I told y'all I wouldn't keep it on. Second point. Not only is the word of God divinely given, but God designed his scripture for a specific purpose. Come back to 2 Timothy. Let me show you something. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Y'all still got time for this?
Yeah.
All right. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Do y'all see that? And is what? Profitable. Now, usually when you and I hear profit, we think of what?
Money.
We think of money. We think of some kind of financial benefit. And Paul used the right term to get our attention, because you've got to recognize the fact that there is benefit to studying and appreciating and hearing and believing the word of God. Church, God promises you, I'll make your life better if you listen to me. Because real wisdom comes from God, but the wisdom of God is in scripture. Don't try to find wisdom in the clouds.
Amen.
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 Stop trying to find wisdom with Oprah.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, y'all like Dr. Phil?
Amen.
Stop trying to find wisdom in these self-help gurus. We ought to have more love, more appreciation. Oprah don't even believe in God. Come on and say amen. Now, she don't even believe in God. She don't even believe in Jesus. Her picture needs to be taken down. Oprah doesn't even believe in God. And some of us have more respect for her than we do when God speaks. Are y'all with me? We will schedule our time. What's those DVD things where you can record it and not be there? TiVo. Yeah, we will TiVo some Oprah or TiVo somebody else. Oh, I pray to God nobody in here is TiVo and Jerry Springer in them. But we have more of an affinity for these kinds of gurus than we do the word of God. But God says real profit, real benefit is when you get in the word and let the word get in you.
Amen.
What's it profitable for, Lord? What's it profitable? Well, number one, it's profitable for doctrine.
Yes, sir.
Y'all see this? Doctrine. Don't let that old school word pass you by. It's doctrine. It's an archaic word. We don't walk around and use doctrine like we used to. But doctrine simply means teaching. But don't miss it, because the scripture that came from God has the teaching that comes from God. If you want to know if God teaches a thing, get in the book to find what God teaches. And in like fashion, you already know that God does not teach everything.
Amen.
Say amen now.
Amen.
How do you know if God teaches it? If God teaches it, then it's in his what? Book. But if God doesn't teach it, you and I don't need to follow it. Amen.
Amen.
Everything we want to know about the teaching of God, the instruction of God, the direction God wants us to go, we can find it in the word of God. But church, be careful, because God may teach you something that you didn't know.
Amen.
See, teaching is twofold. Teaching authorizes the teacher, but teaching ought to be respected by the student. Say amen.
Amen.
And see, one of the things about the word of God is that God's word doesn't get old. It just keeps growing. It just gets, excuse my broken language, but it just gets good and good. Amen. It's like soup the second day. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all don't know nothing about eating. What? Take y'all to the kitchen. Y'all know how stew on the second day? Better than like pinto beans on day two? The teaching of God, it keeps growing. God will mature your understanding over and over and over again. He will enlighten you to a higher path. God will take your mind and allow you to be relevant in 2010 with scripture that was given at the end of the first century. Do y'all see this? How amazing is it that a book that took 1,500 years to compose, 40 different authors to write, all from three different continents, three major languages, but telling one story? How can God do something that amazing? Because it's from the genius of God. And when it comes from the genius of God, church, we always have a word that fits us where we need to be taught. Amen. God can teach the young man struggling with effeminate behavior how to be masculine. Amen. Say amen. Amen. He will teach the young lady that it's all right to keep your standards high and don't open, amen, for every time. Y'all didn't want to go with me, so I had to back off of that one. God will bless us to keep our marriages stable. He will teach a husband to adore his wife. He will teach a wife to serve because he does his job. Y'all didn't like that one, did you? Amen. He will teach your children what it means to be respectful. Amen. God will teach you and I that it's all right to be ambitious. It's all right to want to own some things. Amen. It's all right to prosper right now as long as you keep first things first. Profitable for doctrine. Then number two, it's profitable for reproof. What is reproof? Reproof is a courtroom term. See, sooner or later, you and I will run across people. We will have to share with people why we believe what we believe. Has anybody ever run across an individual that wants to know, why do you believe what you believe? Why do y'all do that? Why don't you do this, and why do you do that? See, reproof. Break the word up. Proof. Prove. And re. Again, it's a courtroom term. Evidence. Give evidence for a thing, but it's also an exposition word that means that you show, you lay it open plainly. God gives us through scripture the evidence for why we do what we do. Why do we sing the way we sing? Why do we pray the way we pray? Why do we meet the first day of the week? Why do we baptize an individual for the remission of their sin, for the reception of the Spirit of God, for entrance into the kingdom? Why do we do that? Because the evidence suggests that we do. Amen. Y'all seeing this? Church, but in like fashion, God's evidence continues to refine, continues to help us, continues to expand our horizon about who he is. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof. But then watch this, for correction. Well, we understand what correction means. Correction. I don't know the school you grew up in. I'm looking at some folk. How many of us, when our children have acted out of character, that we send them to time out? Amen. I didn't grow up in a timeout era either. See, my mother was the kind of woman who believed that when Cedric Lamar Thomas acted up, it was time for her to straighten him up. And my mother, it didn't really matter where we were. We could be in church, and my mother would go to her Buick, Deuce and a Quarter, in her high heels, climb on top of the Deuce and a Quarter, pull down a couple of branches, probably about three, and take them off that tree, trim the leaves off of those branches, braid it together, and then say, "Now, boy, didn't I tell you?" Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And she corrected me. Amen. When I was gone, y'all gotta say amen. And then my father would correct me in different ways. He didn't really care what was around. Whatever was handy was what would be used to correct this child. Correction, straightening again. Are y'all seeing this? You've gone out of the way. God has to straighten you again. Thank God that God didn't have to send down some divine hand. Can you imagine that hand coming to grab a switch for you, or grab a belt? Amen. Oh, an extension cord. Y'all didn't get no whoopings, boy. But God corrects you and I through scripture. God appeals to your mind. He changes your habits through the word. Know this. When an individual is converted, when they have become members of the body of Christ, sometimes we will come off the top rope with all of the mandates of God of what they need to do now. Now, you are a Christian now.